Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Binge and Bass podcast, episode 3 of season 5. We're back. We're going through these every single week. We're doing it. We're doing it. We're doing it. How's it going, Colin?
Oh, man. We are doing it. It's time. A time to be alive. Life is good. The sun is out. It was our last week in the hundreds, hopefully all year, which is going to be just amazing because we talked about we're never going to talk about the weather in a conversation.
That's what that look was for just now.
That's what we're going to start this conversation talking about. Yeah, it's a beautiful weekend. The start of something great.
Yeah. Well, why did you already revert back to the weather? Do we need to stop doing this every week? Are we out of things to talk about? That's always the thing you're reverting back to, man. Were you around boring people this summer? Like, what's going on? Let's talk about it.
Too many people have asked me about my summer this past week. Nobody's listened to the podcast. It's tough. And so I've been hearing people talk about how nice it's going to get. Highs of 89. The clouds are coming. The rain is coming. It's just going to be a beautiful week.
Because Colin Bass is a big rainy day guy. And if you're new to the show,
rainy day guy,
check out the first one. That's why he's here. That's why he's at Baylor. That's why we have a podcast. And he's your senior class president. Okay, Colin. So hear me out on this.
I noticed, too, we're
polo gang today. We got on the
polo
golf
gang.
Shirt. I've got golf shirt slacks on. You've got golf shirt khaki shorts on. You're already taking a photo for everyone watching. Again, nobody watches this because we don't film this. People listen, that's for sure. People listen when I remember to post the episode.
Yes.
But what I'm saying is, how would you define the golf shirt polo with slacks outfit? It's a classic male outfit. You know, you have a guest speaker in your class, you're going to not a football game because it's so hot, but then every guy dresses the same for football games. I don't know. I just kind of open up to me on the thoughts behind the polos. You kind of got your signature ones, you know. Walk us through the male wardrobe at Baylor University.
Well, I appreciate you stalling there for about three to four, maybe 5 seconds, so I could post that on Instagram really fast for the account.
You're quicker than JP, man.
Oh, man. So running me through the outfit. I think the polo is a classic just man fit, you know, like not the dad fit, just a good, like, you're not going to wear a T-shirt, you're not going to wear a suit, just right there in the middle. You got to be looking good, feeling good. But, you know, it might look good in the mirror. That's one thing. Sure, you take that on with it. The reason why I wear a polo is because it's just cool. Like, not cool as in, like, swag, but cool as in, like, you can just sweat in it. Nobody would be able to tell. Moisture wicking. You're looking me up and down right now like you've never seen a polo. But
I have one on, too, you know.
Oh, man. But that's exactly what I wear a polo. I got 33 of them in my closet, one for every day of the month plus a few, and I just love a good polo. I don't have as many T-shirts, but I got polos, and that's what I sleep in, dream in, and work in all day.
Smile and a step at a time, right? That's your quote.
So you know
for sure that you have 33.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, somebody asked me last year, and I counted them up. I guess I got rid of a couple this summer that I outgrew / maybe don't wear anymore, but around that 30 range.
And you have a rule, right, where if you get a new shirt, another one has to get donated?
Most of the time, yeah. So if I get another polo, either one's got to go or got to get rid of a T-shirt. So I think it's a good rule to have. I don't know. My closet's already packed, and I don't think that's like a charity side of me that's like, oh, I got to get rid of all this stuff inside of my closet. Like, oh, well. No, it's really just me wanting to maybe limit my intake. My mom used to call me a hoarder growing up.
Really?
But before we get past the point, you said that I had an opinion about the polo. Why are you rocking a polo today? Why do you wear a polo? Why do you want to look good for the dean later today?
Well, Fridays are my business school tour day. So Monday through Thursday, I'm in class. This year, if I talked about that on here, the mindset of 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. is when I'm going to do all my work. And then when it gets to the evening, I'm just going to turn it off and go be social, go play intramurals, go
Come
do whatever. We'll see how it goes. Jury's still out on how that's going. But I think it's something, like, I've talked to a lot of people who do summer internships. They're like, oh, what if we tried it? But I don't think anyone actually tries it. I'm actually trying to stick with it. But usually, like, I'm not in class on Friday, so it's kind of like my work day for my internship and my on-campus job, and then usually any meetings or leadership stuff I have to do, I just push to Friday and just use it as my day to get stuff done. So have
GSD.
A few tours, have that meeting later I'm bringing you to, so polo slacks, good look, you know, shows that you're taking what you're doing seriously. but it's really difficult. Like, if you were to go button down or you were to go, like, full suit, that would be really difficult to do in this time of year. Because we already talked about the weather. We talked about that so much. Back. So it always comes back to the weather, man. But back to your point about, you know, organizing the wardrobe, one thing in, the other out. I don't know why, but I ended up watching that movie Inside Out the other night. The one with the memories and like how the moral of it sure. is that you have all these emotions, and if you were always happy, then you know there wouldn't be the beauty of the other emotions, and they all work in tandem, and they're all important. Some of them at times seem more prominent than others, but when one thing comes out, there's like something else being thrown away almost. That's where my mind went. Weird analogy, but what do you think of that? You ever seen that movie?
I've seen it a long time ago. Big old Disney guy. Back when we were growing up, those were the movies, and that was probably like the last one of my childhood where I was like, I gotta check this one out.
Yeah.
Good movie. Yeah. Then I don't remember as in depth as your recent view. But I do think there's a lot of value there, and I think it's funny how you relate that to the closet there just a second ago. Like, when one thing comes in, one thing's got to go. A question I kind of wanted to pose about this polo idea. Imagine you're not from here. Say you're coming from Asia or, like, South Africa or, like, Australia.
Okay.
And you're coming from a beach town or a place that's very different than Waco or, like, a, you know, a normal sure. American city. Do you think you'd be walking through the mall and you would say, I want to wear a polo? Or do we only wear them because it's what everybody else is wearing?
Oh, that's an interesting point. So that goes back to what I was saying about the football games. Like, I feel like girls, they always want to whip out the new wardrobe. They throw on the boots. And, like, I feel for them. That has to be so, like, hot wearing boots during the games. Like,
that's a choice, 100, though.
Yeah. Yeah, and I like boots. We're from Texas, but, I mean, that's a sacrifice there. But I feel like every guy, like, when I'm getting dressed on a game day, I'm going to the bookstore later today, and I'm going to do, like, something different. I am the most basic, like, NPC default-looking person at a football game.
Some of our listeners don't know what that means.
Non-playable character. So, like, someone who's just an extra in a movie or in a video game, just very much not part of the plot, but there, like, yeah. Not fully rendered. But that's me at a football game, and that's not me. Like, that's not my personality. Not that what you dress is your personality, but it says a little bit. But when I throw on that green Nike polo that 934 other students are wearing that day, you know, I'm putting it on because it's what everyone else wears, and it's the acceptable thing to do there. But I could probably be a little cooler with it. So, to your point, if you're walking through the mall and you're from somewhere else, I also don't think you care as much, though. Like, next week, I'm going to go to Boston. I'm going to go to a baseball game at Fenway Park by myself. And I don't care what people think. If people are looking behind me, like, he's at a game by himself, then whatever. Because it's been a dream. I've always wanted to go there. Like, I don't care. And I think, like, when you're around people and you realize probably never see them again, then you really don't care what they think. So if I were visiting somewhere else and I were looking a little different than everyone else with my dress, I don't care.
Yeah, I get that. I think it's actually a really good perspective. And I think you also raise a good point there. You only care because this is maybe my perspective of it, but it's a little bit less. A lot of less care goes into it when you don't know the people around you.
Yeah.
But when there's adjacent friends or, like, strangers or near you, then you start to care a little bit more. Like,
right.
When you're at the game, you're like, oh, well, I got to, like, kind of fit in here, or I got to just sort of just go with the flow. And if I go show up alone to a Baylor football game when I know people there, then it'd be a little bit more weird than going to a strange place where I'm allowed to be alone.
Yeah.
And it kind of raises an interesting point here. Like, how much of our thoughts – something I want to talk about this morning was just like how much of our thoughts and our leaderships and our desires come from the people around us versus the person inside of us.
Wow. I mean, that and to further your point, too, about how if you were at Baylor and you feel almost a little bit more pressure, that's also because you are who you are. And like you're known and seen as this leader here. And a lot of people know you, whether you like it or not. That's the reality. And you feel like you need to dress the part, look the part. Or one thing I think about with you, and we talk about it on here all the time, is you're writing a book on joy. So, like, do you walk around and think, you know, maybe I am kind of sad today, but I can't show it, or people are going to think I'm a hypocrite for writing this book, right? So, to remind me of your question specifically, it was, like, what per- is our leadership from within or from what other people say? Is it what was your
question?
Yeah,
like is it from the people outside of us or the person inside of us?
Man, I don't know that I could give you a direct answer so much one or the other there, but I think a big part of leadership is how we're perceived. And in order to be a leader, you have to have some perceived degree of power that others have entrusted you with. But at the end of the day, your heart and your motivation and what you do, that all comes from within. That's your choice. You have to make decisions. So I don't know that it necessarily leans one way or the other, but I think we have to be a little bit of chameleons. We have to be formed by other people. And in order to lead other people, they have to entrust us to do so. And you have to be a good follower first. So it is entirely dependent on other people to some extent.
Yeah, I think that's good. And I think you made an interesting point there, too. Like, it would be crazy for you to not follow who you're becoming. And I think my first thought was, like, imagine Dr. Livingstone, President Livingstone, showing up in, like, Nike shorts and a T-shirt to like, the game. It'd be weird.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know? And so not that you have to, like, live up to the standard, but, like, you live up to who you've created yourself to be and not be fake in that.
Mm-hmm.
But, like you can't just throw it all out the window just because you don't want to be who you said you were going to be, you know?
I like that. Yeah. Or, you know, my guy, Ryan, who I love,
he said
he always throws on the nice suits and people are like, it's 2023. Why do you wear a suit to all your meetings? He said, I don't do it for me. I do it to show my clients that I care about them and that I'm taking them seriously. So, and that's part of it too. Like, I think maybe some people are like, oh, that guy is wearing a suit. Like, he's trying to flex or whatever. I don't think it's that simple. I think a lot of people are dressing up or acting a certain way to show that their customer or their client or the people they're working with that they're important to you. It's not so much like the actual stuff that you're wearing. It's like the idea of I went to a little bit more extra effort for you this morning because that's how I view our relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. I like that. And that can go from any conversation to like the big business meeting.
Yeah.
Walking in next week to Fenway Park by yourself. I mean, whatever it is you're getting ready for, it kind of shows what you're wearing and where you're going. And I think it all kind of comes back to that idea of like, yes, you've got to form to the people outside of you, but then also you've also got to become the person who's inside of you as well. And I think there's a good balance there.
Yeah, I think a big part of it too, or like I share kind of with the whole pro sales thing and building confidence, is like becoming the person that you want to be. And that sounds cliche, but if you think about it, like, where do you want to be a year from now? Who are you? Who are your friends? What are you wearing? What car are you driving? Like, you got to start thinking about that and becoming that person and that ideal version of me. How do they act? How do they behave? Who do they surround themselves with? How much do they read the Bible? Like that whole thing. Like, you have to start thinking about where you want to be a year from now. And then in order to become that person, you have to first like act like that person. And to some degree you are acting because that's not you yet, but that's who you want to be. So you have to make those changes now, and it might feel like you're acting at times, but in order to be your ideal self, you have to sort of start acting like it until you become it.
I love that. I love that. Now, is there a wrong – last question here as we kind of wrap it up. Like, is there a wrong way to pick your ideal self, and how do you know that your ideal self is actually who you want to become as we think about all the changes coming in the future, whether it's an internship next summer, a full-time offer here pretty soon, or just a dream you might have?
Yeah, I think prayer is a huge part of it. And obviously, because I'm a believer, I see the power in that. But also, I think that an additional bonus of praying almost is that you get to hear yourself think. And it, like, along with prayer comes meditation. So you start to think, like, as you're praying and asking things of God, you're also starting to think, like, in the back of your head, like, is this something, like, why do I want this? Is this a good thing to want? So I think prayer / meditation is a great safeguard. And I think you have to have mentors in your life who are, you know, running the race with you and understand where you want to be. And I think with mentors, whether it's, you know, whether it's career or personal, I think we should completely normalize, like we talked about completely normalizing looking up stuff ahead of time about other people to get to know them. But I think it should be completely normal as a younger person. And if you are a mentor figure to someone, I think a great thing to say is this is where I want to be a year from now, and I think you can help me get there. You know, what do you recommend? And if, you know, the mentor sees alignment in those goals and they can help you get there, or if they see, like, hey, I made this mistake when I was younger, I see yourself going down that route, don't do it. You know, whatever that might be, I think that that's a great practice. So prayer and meditation, having mentors, and then just being direct with your mentors, like, hey, this is really what I want to do. And if you don't know, that's totally fine. But this is what I'm good at. This is what I think I could do. What do you think? So I think that open dialogue with mentors. So there's the self-reflection that happens first through prayer and meditation, and then, you know, leveraging your mentors through honest dialogue. What do you think?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think a lot of it all kind of boils back down to verbalizing what you want to become. And I think you'll quickly realize in prayer, but also through mentorships, but even just your friends and even just looking at yourself in the mirror, if that's who you actually want to become and if that's going to be good for you. And I totally agree with you. Like, it would not be a bad thing to normalize that and saying, hey, I want to look up to you. And like we did that with our, like, say, like, just guys in the fraternity freshman year or people in pro sales sophomore year. And like, as we look toward the people that are older than us, like, I still have those friends, but I'm also reaching out to people even older than them now and saying, like, hey, you're 20 years in your career, let's chat. I just have these questions, and that I have one of those chats this afternoon of just like, how do I combine faith and life and work and all these different things, and making sure that I make the right decision. For people that know you and know your heart and know your goals, I think, yeah, all of that is super important. I couldn't agree more with you, Benj.
Yeah, yeah. It's exciting stuff, and it sounds intimidating to have that conversation with someone like, this is, or like, I really look up to you. Like, for some people, that might be an uncomfortable thing to do, and I think you and I have both, like, done that enough. For one thing I see too now is, like, we have a lot of younger friends too, right? And I see them getting really invested in the job recruiting scene. And some of them, like, they live together and they're really close already. And I know we lived together when we were doing job recruitment stuff, but I think we did a pretty good job of not taking it home with us.
Yeah, but turn it off at 5.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to do. I'll keep y'all updated throughout the year, so long as we keep recording these episodes, which we will, because it's on my calendar, because you do a good job keeping me accountable. but I think just being on the other side of it, we're a lot more calm about it. But seeing younger people go through it again, man, I remember, like, the stakes of that and the intensity of that. So I think, you know, the thing I remind people is, like, the importance of authenticity when even if it's like a new person rushing a fraternity or a student organization, like, it's been a while since we've been on that side of it, but, you know, we'll be on that side of it again one day, like, you know, starting at an entry level job at a new company. Like, life is just a continuous cycle of, you know, putting yourself out there. And right now we're in established positions here, but in a few months, like, that's going to completely change. But I think the important thing is that you're authentic and you're true to yourself, but, like, conversations like the ones we were talking about, like, I really admire how you do this, or I don't know you super well, but when you said this, this meant something to me, let's talk about it. Or, honestly, I just want to tell you about my career, I think you could help me get there, I'll buy you coffee. You know, those are the meaningful conversations, not this, like, ready fire aim, how many people can I meet at this company. You know, it's important to keep your eyes on your own paper and be true to yourself. Because that's, I don't know, that's just the top of my mind, because I've seen a lot of people going through it right now.
Yeah, I get that, and I love that. And I think it really, I mean, it's great to shake a lot of hands, but you can't have that many in-depth conversations. And most of the time, 9 times out of 10, people are going to say yes to that conversation that they want to talk to you. And then of those 9 times, 10 out of the 10 of those are going to be people who remember you and respect you for having that conversation.
Yeah.
So
if you shake too many hands, your hands are just going to get sweaty, and that might make a bad impression. My hands are kind of sweating just from this podcast booth, so we'll wrap it up.
Oh, man. Well, sweaty hands, and it's Friday, and the weather's getting cooler, and
no,
don't be afraid to reach out to that person.
I actually don't think it's getting cooler, and you talking about it is definitely not generally cool. So let's go ahead and wrap it up, because that was a good one and I don't want this to go downhill. We will see you next week, guys.
Oh man, praying for you, pray for us. We'll see you soon.